Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark. Pick up immediately where we left off from last Sunday of Jesus and his disciples. He just has the four of them at this point, Simon and Andrew and James and John. And so hear now how God is speaking to you through these words of the Gospel of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Such a short passage this is, but filled with wonderful nuggets of treasure that are worth digging for, digging through. And we could spend hours going over this one. And kickoff's not for another 6.5 hours. So we have the time. Thumbs up? No? No? Yeah. Mark is a gospel that moves very fast. The writer here wastes no time on detail or exposition or long narrative or backstory. Jenny House and I were talking about this yesterday, and I had the thought that if the writer of Mark had written The Lord of the Rings, it would be a short story, or War and Peace, or any long novel that you can think of. Mark moves us swiftly through the narrative, and Jesus also moves very swiftly all the time. Jesus is always moving. And so in the spirit of Mark, let us move swiftly like a theological Don Driver and see if we can avoid earning a delay of game penalty. Score some points as we tackle this scripture. And I promise that is the end of the football metaphors. Yes, you're welcome. Although there will be one example later, but not a metaphor. First, yeah, we're still in chapter 1. Of the Gospel of Mark here, and an awful lot has happened. And this first chapter of Mark gives us who are reading it, Mark really sets up for us who Jesus is, what his mission was about, and how he's going to go about doing that mission. There's an awful lot packed into one chapter. And it begins right in the first sentence, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no birth narrative here. No 12-year-old Jesus staying behind and debating the rabbis in the temple and making his parents come back to retrieve him. Mark jumps right in. This book is about Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, who is the Son of God. We know immediately who Jesus is and can have that in our heads through reading of the rest of the gospel. That's all the backstory that Mark thinks we need to know about Jesus. He is the Son of God. That's enough. And then next, there's a quote from Isaiah, and then John the Baptist appears out of nowhere in verse 4. So even in just 4 verses of this gospel, a lot has happened. So John the Baptist shows up, and he's baptizing people, and he tells the people in verse 7 that one greater than him is coming, one that will baptize with fire, not with water. And then Jesus makes his first actual appearance in verse 9. He's baptized. The heavens open up in verse 10. In verse 11, the voice of God comes down. "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus goes to the wilderness to pray, is tempted, lives with wild beasts, and is ministered to by angels in verses 12 and 13. And then John is taken into custody, and Jesus goes to Galilee. Those both happen in verse 14. Mark is moving, not wasting time. Jesus preaches repentance, calls Simon and Andrew, then James and John, and goes to Capernaum, teaches in the synagogue, is recognized there as having divine-like authority to change reality or mold people's perceptions of reality, the authority to change the idea of uncleanness, and he casts an unclean spirit out of a man and restores him to wholeness of the community and wholeness of life. And that amazes everyone who was there. And then news about Jesus went out everywhere in the surrounding district of Galilee. And that's all through verse 28, where we finished last Sunday. It's like scoring, I don't know, 3 touchdowns and 2 field goals in the first 2 minutes of play. There's just so much packed in to the short bit. If this were a novel, if you were this many words into a novel, about all you would know is the name of the main character and maybe the day of the week the story is starting on. Mark has given us almost an entire week here and set up who Jesus is. Mark wastes no time. Jesus wastes no time. And immediately, our passage from today begins, and immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came to the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And note that the text says that she was lying with a fever. She's bedridden. She's not able to move around. They immediately speak to Jesus about her, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Things happen so fast. Happens so fast, it can be difficult to find the time even to breathe in reading this story and to get a handle on what is happening. And so we can take a bit of a pause here to go through it. It's still the Sabbath day that we started last Sunday in the reading when Jesus goes to the synagogue. And so on this, so far on this day, Jesus has used the power of his word to command this unclean spirit to come out of the man that was in the synagogue and to restore that man to wholeness of spirit and community. You know, here in this passage today, Jesus has used the power of touch. Power of touch to remove the fever from Simon's mother-in-law by taking her hand in this very intimate physical moment of grace to reach out, take her hand, and raise her up. And she is restored as well and immediately begins to serve them. It's her role in this household to be in charge of hospitality. And it's not uncommon at the time that that would be a role for one of the females in the house to be in charge of hospitality. But with her fever, she's bedridden. And she was cut off from fulfilling that vocation of hospitality. She was incomplete in some ways. And Jesus restores that back to her. Restores back to her role. He doesn't just remove the fever from her. He restores her to her rightful place. The place that she's known. And many who have gone through sickness, there can be that sense of incompleteness. Not able to do some of the things you used to be able to do. Not being able to be who you used to be. There can be some loss of self in that. And Jesus gives back to her who she is. That's not to say that the role of a woman is only that of a servant. But that for her, this is likely her role. And in that place and time, that very much is. To be unclean like the man in the synagogue is to be cut off from God and from the religious community. And to be sick like Simon's mother-in-law here is to be cut off from part of oneself, from wholeness of self. And so on this Sabbath day, Mark shows us that Jesus is the one who breaks the law against work. You were not to work on the Sabbath. That includes healing. Jesus breaks the law against work by healing two people. And in doing so, he takes the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is to be a day of restoration and recreation. Time for us to rest and again become who we are. And Jesus turns this into a day of literal restoration and recreation and fulfillment of the purpose of the day. And Mark is showing us in all of this that Jesus' mission and ministry is one of teaching and preaching and healing. And specifically, this restoration of the wholeness of self and of one's place in the community and in God's kingdom. That is who our Messiah is. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The laws of love, greater than any other law, whether it be prescription against working on the Sabbath or the laws about uncleanness that separate people from the community. Jesus says that what is most important is relation. What is most important is our human connectedness to one another and our connectedness to God. This right relation that excludes no one from the community and excludes no one from God's kingdom or from God's grace. And then at the end of the Sabbath day, as the sun is setting, and in Jewish tradition, the days begin and go from sundown to sundown. So Sabbath begins Friday night and ends Saturday night. And so now on the Saturday night, as dusk comes, the people in the city, Mark says, everyone. All of the people come and bring many of the sick and those possessed with demons, and Jesus cures many of them. And they come at dusk because they are faithful Jews and they're obeying the Sabbath law. To bring someone who was sick, to bring them in for healing, would have counted as work, so they had to wait until sundown, even though they've seen the example of Jesus already twice today, that healing on the Sabbath is okay and good, that the restoration of one's place in community trumps the law against work. And then in the darkness of night, early in the morning, Jesus goes off to pray in a deserted place. But he only gets to do that for one sentence. Because then the disciples show up. They hunt him down. Great word in the Greek, hunt. Hunting. This really active searching with this determination. They hunt for Jesus and they find him and they say to him, hey, everyone is looking for you. Get back to town. Get back to town. The disciples are telling Jesus what his job is. And I'll say the mother-in-law did not do that to Jesus. Just saying. Women often get it. Men often don't. I do wonder about this relationship between Jesus and the disciples, what it was like in these first days. They've only been together at the most, maybe a week. Perhaps only 3 or 4 days at this point. What was it like those first few days that they were together? And clearly, at this point, there's some tension. They want Jesus to go back to the house, to go back to the city, maybe set himself up as a healer there, and they can be his disciples, and they can be there in the hometown that they know, in a house that they know, with their family and their friends, in a comfortable place. And who wouldn't want that? Can't blame them for asking for that. But while they're in that desolate place where they found Jesus, Jesus responds instead, no, let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim there also. For that is what I came to do. And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. He doesn't even go back to the house. Always on the move, always seeking out the people that he came to teach and to touch and to heal. Jesus is not a stagnant healer waiting for people to come to him, but goes out and meets the people where they are. And we're still in chapter 1 after all of this. And we have one more story of healing that we will read next week. And though Mark likes the words immediately and doesn't like to pause, we must wait patiently to hear that story until next Sunday. Though we do not need to ever wait for the healing word and healing hand of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose gospel we proclaim here and proclaim out there in Eau Claire, outside these walls. The gospel of love, of God's hand, stretched out. Stretched out to you, saying, "Rise, my son, rise, my daughter, and be whole. Come and enter into the wholeness of life that you already have, that I've already given you, that is yours. And follow me." And let's pray. Precious Lord, take our hand and lead us on. Let us stand. We are tired. We are weak. We are worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead us on to the light. Take our hand, precious Lord, lead us home. Amen.